Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
This is it. This is our last chance to see some chemistry, some passion, or at least some good loving. Did we get a bite? Find out right now as we discuss Netflix version of Dracula right here on AfterBuzz.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I'm still waiting for the lights to come down and the dark.
I know. We need some fog. We need some fog.
Right?
2017. Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jackie Ray. Thanks for checking in with us here on AfterBuzz as we discuss Netflix version of Dracula. This is episode 3, The Dark Compass. This is the last one, ladies.
Yeah.
This is the last one. So we're going
to
talk about it with you right now. But first, let me introduce my... Biteful? That's terrible. That was a terrible play. I was trying to get a Dracula play in there, but let me introduce my favorite co-host right now. We have Emily May.
Hi, everyone.
And Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone.
All right. Yeah. All right. This is it, ladies. How you feeling? We made it to the end?
Yeah, made it to the end.
Yeah. We made it.
Was it everything you...
We survived Dracula.
We did. We did. We made it through. Is it all that you expected? Or were you surprised? I kind of set you up for that one.
Yeah, you do a little bit. I don't know if it was what I was expecting at all. It was definitely a swerve for me.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
I know you have your opinion.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It was. I was like, you know, you guys, I've been very... I've had a lot of criticism of the show. Just because I'm a big fan of Moffat, I'm a big fan of Mark Gatiss, I'm a big fan of Dracula.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see them, like, pull it off. And, I mean, what a nightmare of an episode. Just to be perfectly honest, what were you thinking? Like, if you're going to...
We're going to get into what we feel are the do's and don'ts of remaking Dracula.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some Dracula of days past, and we're going to do our favorite bites in this whole thing, or maybe even this
or
episode.
Or non-favorite bites.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot to choose from here.
Yeah.
All right, but let's just get to it. He's on the shore. Right?
Yeah.
We talked about that briefly at the end of the last episode. The helicopters are flying. Off top, my problem with it was he instantly knew the video camera was a camera. I'm like, come on.
He totally knew what the camera was.
Right.
He had no, like, no problems with, like, anything else. The noise.
Nothing.
The lights. He had no other issues with what was going on.
I mean, I guess they were trying to be like, well, he's been alive for 500 years and he's seen things change. It's not a big deal. But that's a huge advancement.
But that's a big... a big adaptation. Like, adapt that fast.
Yeah.
We jumped very far within the past, 150 years?
Right.
Like, I would be freaked out.
Yeah.
If I had just come from candles and crap, and now there's, like, stuff flying over my head with lights and like, machine guns.
And it's like he knew what it was, like, right away. He's like,
yeah,
that's a camera. I've seen it.
And then he grabs it and does, like, a selfie.
It's like, you wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. And that's also been, like, a big hang-up I've had with Dracula the entire show is that he always feels too modern.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if he feels just, like, very savvy or smart, but he's felt too modern. So now when he's in modern times, to make him feel even more modern, it's just like, why?
Well, and the way that I thought, like, when he took that selfie, isn't that technically a reflection of yourself?
Right.
So that's a mirror
of
yourself.
So why did he,
You
know what? I didn't even think of that, because there is that flaw then, because at the end, Lucy sees her true self.
Yeah.
And he saw his true self before. Good eye there.
But it also didn't make any sense, because none of the mirror work made sense in this episode, because it's supposed to be, you see your true reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So in her reflection, she sees her true reflection. But then when she takes a picture, she sees how she really looks.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's when... Right. And it goes back to establishing the rules that you're going to follow from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So if vampires can't look at reflections of themselves, then you need to establish that in episode one and stay consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be different because he's Dracula, and it can't be different because she's Lucy. Like, it has to be consistent.
Right. I.A. Acura. If I said it wrong, just do it phonetically. I'll say it right the next time. But he said the huge jump in time made no sense to him.
Mm-hmm. No sense. Said at the end of last episode. So he could have just woke up. And they tried to play it off. We're like, we reawakened him.
Right.
But if he could have always gotten out and just walked back to shore, then why wouldn't he have done that immediately? Why did he go into an eternal slumber or whatever you want to call
right.
it?
Right.
Well, I mean, the ship did blow up, so maybe he was... So theoretically,
right.
Maybe he was injured so much that he had to go back in the box.
But even still, when they opened the box 123 years later, he should look as ancient as he did
at the top
of the first episode.
That was the main problem that I had.
Because he's blood... He's like,
that's true, because he hasn't been...
unless he's been eating fish, but he's not conscious. So how is he eating anything?
And they're like, well, he's in the soil from his homeland.
But maybe he is eating fish.
But he was in a comatose state.
Yeah. But how do we know that? We only saw a glimpse of it.
That's what the doctor said. She was like, she said he was in a comatose state, and he would have stayed that way had she not stuck her finger in his mouth and he bit it and then had her blood.
But maybe that's what they're telling us now, and then maybe season two we'll find out.
There will be no season two. Okay.
You had your chance.
I'm just throwing
you
it out there.
You shot your shot and you missed.
Yeah.
Love you much.
Billie Jean Girl 24 said Dracula did see his reflection in the window. Yeah. So what the hell
and
was
the
that?
Mirror,
and he stands in the sunlight as well. We'll get to that in a moment as well. We'll get to that. But I did have a problem with all of that. I also found it funny that he ends up in some random house and he's like, "This is a palace," and she's like, "This is a dump," you know.
Well, and who is this person?
Did I zone out?
In the suburbs in this poor lady's house?
It's not even
house.
In the suburbs. She's probably in the inner city somewhere.
So I didn't zone out. There was it was just like he was on the beach and then he was there.
Right.
Right.
I
thought I missed something.
Right. I had to rewind because I was like, "Wait, did I miss something?"
That's what I
went
did.
To go get tea. So I'm like, wait, did I miss something? I went back and it's like, oh, I didn't.
So how did he get there?
Walking.
Okay, we need y'all. Okay, so I don't think a man that walked through water like that is going to walk to the inner city.
Yeah.
Some random house. How did he get there? If y'all have watched it, how did he get there if we missed it?
Moffitt likes to do a commentary, like social commentary sometimes, like kind of just throwaway lines. And I think that's why he had the whole... Oh, this is a palace. Because it is true. Like, we do take modern technology for granted. Mm-hmm. We don't think anything of, you know, these computers mm-hmm. that we have or these cameras or
the
lights.
Or the refrigerator. The refrigerator.
You know, we our access to food, we don't think anything of it.
Right.
Especially here in America. And so for him to arrive at a place and see, like, oh, you have all this food, mm-hmm. you have furniture, there's
like
heating,
accessible.
There's lights, right. You know. We don't think anything of that, but I can see why he would. But at the same time, then, why was he, like, so nonchalant about the camera? Like, you know, just be consistent.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, we found out that he takes the husband, right?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. And now what I had kind of trouble understanding was, you know, what was the point of that?
This is what we're trying to figure out right now. If you guys know, let us know.
Like,
what is the point of him killing most people?
Most people.
That's the thing. What is the point of Dracula? Like, that was the biggest issue overall with the entire show.
He's like a monster to be a monster.
Yeah, but you know, even like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. He is just chaos. He just likes chaos. Mm-hmm. But he does it, he executes it so well that you don't question, this is just someone who likes chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all these other things, because they're trying to hold on to all the mythology of Dracula. but just make him an agent of chaos.
Right.
Well, you can't just make him an agent of chaos if you're holding on to all the mythology.
Right.
You can't have the fear of the cross and
the But they're actually not holding on to all the mythology.
Well, they're attempting to, like making him afraid of the cross and, you know, and they're
like picking and choosing.
What they want to do, mm-hmm. and then making it something where he's like looking for his bride. And then he doesn't really care about that.
Right.
He just doesn't care enough about anything. And that was a problem even with Lucy. I'm like, if you're trying to make it where it's like, oh, how nice it is that to meet someone who doesn't care about things like I do, that's not a well-written character. Mm. A character who has no motives or drives.
Yeah. I felt like they tried to make him a little bit more likable, because when he breaks into this random house and he's like, okay, I'm a vampire. You know it. You can feel it in the back of your head. You know, the hair's raising up. He's like, okay, so now ask me some questions. And in that moment, he seemed like, okay, just ask away. He seemed sincere. She let her guard down a little bit, got close and says, do you see your reflection in the mirror? Mm-hmm. And then again, we see him see
his
true self.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we didn't see that not 3 minutes earlier when he was looking into the camera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So isn't there are people that are paid for consistency, right?
Continuity.
Yeah. Like, so maybe we didn't have that on
this. I don't know. Maybe they were like, well, he's revealing himself right now. And in any case, if your audience is like sitting there trying to figure out what the hell is happening, that means you did not do your job, or somebody didn't do their job. I work in television. I work in film. And there are a ton of people that had to get through for it to get on air. Like, and no one questioned it.
Right.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a moment, like, story-wise, it makes Dracula feel a little vulnerable because he's kind of opening himself up. He's been around for 500 years, so he is trying to make some friends.
And, you know, if that had been his entire motive the whole time, is that Dracula is lonely.
Yeah.
I would love would that so much more.
Yeah, you could play it up.
And it would have been a great show. But Dracula Does Not Care is not a great show.
Well, because you can't always be at, like, 100% I'm going to kill all the time because I'm going to just kill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has to be, if it was I have to kill because, or, like, connect with someone in some way because I'm lonely and I can't find a companion, then that's something that at least is an objective and a motive that you can work towards.
Which is the actual story.
Make a well-rounded,
of Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that he wants Mina because, or Mira? Mina? I always
forget. Mina,
Mina because he gets so lonely and he desires a companion.
And what happened to her
She disappeared, and then we get this little nugget that says, oh, you know, Mina, once her father died, she inherited this money, and then she opened this foundation
named after Jonathan,
and she joined forces with
Van Helsing,
and they are basically searching for Dracula.
Yeah.
And like, but that's the only nugget that we get of her. And I feel like you can't just let this woman, you can't rip her husband off your body and then just let her go, and then we just get this one little nugget about her.
And it was so expositional, too.
Right.
It wasn't, it was like, if you weren't paying attention, you missed it.
Absolutely.
And
She's a major plot point, and they threw it away.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that choice.
Right. All right. So we're going to get into a modern London bar. But before we do that, do you want to tell the people how happy we are to be here?
Yes.
Yeah, we are happy.
Okay, guys.
You might not know it, but we are.
We are. Outside of, you know, the show. We just want to say thank you so much for making us ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. If you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. If you're on MySpace, what are you doing? But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yay! Ding, ding, ding! All right, so we find ourselves in a modern London nightclub. They're playing hip-hop and
whatever.
We see these characters that we have no idea who they are or what they mean. And and it's a very, as a viewer, in my opinion, it was that moment of, did I sit on the remote and change the channel? No. You know what I mean?
It was so jarring. It was so jarring.
Well, before we get to that, though, we're introduced to Jack, and he's getting a phone call from Jonathan Harker.
Right.
Yeah.
There's that kind of, like, turn of you thinking maybe Jonathan's still alive.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, is this like a a partner? Is this like another
or like a descendant or something?
Right. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, this has to have some connection. So,
but then it's how long before we understand what that phone call is? We got to go through the nightclub and then the flirty boyfriend and the slut shaming, and it's like that was a lot.
I knew immediately once they were like Lucy. And then once the guy was from Texas, was like, oh, they're doing, like, the beat-for-beat characters from Dracula in modern times. And I honestly thought that really sucked. Mm-hmm. Because Mina and Lucy, like, the playoff that, the dynamic of, like, Lucy being used to lure Mina into, you know, to Dracula.
To Dracula, yeah.
Is what makes Lucy's character interesting. Without that, I mean, she is just kind of, like, a party girl,
right?
Dumb who
there's no depth to.
She's ditzy,
who likes to, you know, flirt with men, and she has a bunch of suitors, and even just like immediately getting married after saying it's not like she's ever going to get married, and she does, and it was just sloppy introductions to classic characters,
right? Yeah, and what I really would have liked with this introduction of these characters was, for, like, new audience members who might not be familiar with the original Dracula, they're not going to know who these characters are.
Right.
So they're piecing it together, and so they're going to be super confused. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the majority of audiences, like, they're at a loss, and they're kind of left behind because the introduction to these characters didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. I think I understood the plan. I think it was, let's reintroduce Dracula to a whole new audience.
Yeah.
You know, because even like Jumanji, the first Jumanji is nothing like the new Jumanji, but it has it still stays true enough to the overall theme.
Yeah.
That people who like the first one like the new one, and people who like the new one, they can follow along with the storyline.
Yeah.
I feel like even for me, there was a moment where I was like, okay, I got to kind of just throw away the Dracula that I know and just kind of focus on this Dracula that is here.
Yeah.
But I still had problems.
That's the thing. So, then don't call it Dracula. End of story. Call it something else. If you want to do
the first two episodes were Dracula. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But, like, if you don't really want to do Dracula, you just really want to do a vampire story, you know, there are plenty, like we were talking about, Interview with a Vampire, not a Dracula story, still a vampire story. Vampire in Brooklyn, not a Dracula story, still a vampire story. That is fine. Well, you don't have to do this.
It could be named, or it could be, like, inspired by Dracula, but not, like, the fake name.
Right.
Yeah, and I get it. They didn't call it Bram Stoker's Dracula. And, you know, hey, even I have a screenplay called Dracula, and Dracula ain't got nothing to do with it till, like, the third act.
Right.
But, like, we still follow the story. Like, you still...
Yeah, my favorite vampire movie is Lost Boys. It's an old-school classic. Yeah, but they still... All of the... They're shooting garlic, holy water out of squirt guns. Yeah, you know what I mean? They got a tub full of garlic.
Yeah.
They've got real crosses. They follow everything, you know? And so it just... Even if you threw a Dracula in that, even if Dracula was in that, somehow you could probably make it make sense. But I just felt like maybe this Dracula was just a little too modern.
Yeah.
It was like a little too off the center line of what Dracula's about to hit, I think, with modern audiences that really truly like the original.
I remember why he left the beach. So he turns into a flock of bats.
Oh, right.
And they lose him.
Okay. Yes. We all missed that.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Even in the chat, people were like, he just appeared in the house.
Yeah. No, you're right. He flew away as bats and then, I guess, pieced himself together to Dracula.
And I remember that part. Needed to feed and probably ate her husband.
Yeah. I remember that part because I thought it was funny because for a second I thought he slapped her.
No.
It was a bat.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Now I remember.
We have a flashback.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yes, because I was going to eat me alive. Ba-dum-bum.
But still, was not the best transition.
No,
it was not
at all. And I think also with the introduction of Jack and Quincy and Lucy, when you have Jack be a part of the Jonathan Harker Foundation, they should really, I think it would have been a better choice, especially because when Dracula leaves Transylvania, he leaves his brides behind.
Yeah.
He clearly has, like, maid ghouls. That if you had made it something where they are vampire hunters, like, because that's even the thing. Van Helsing is hunting Dracula, but Van Helsing is also just a general vampire hunter,
right?
Which means that there's other vampires out there than just Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
So if they made it a whole thing where it's like a lineage of, like, them becoming vampire hunters instead of being like Jack Seward is there to be like a blood bag because now they have Dracula.
Right.
Which is stupid. Like, right. Really? Yeah. Like, you've been grooming kids just to have beef to feed Dracula on the off chance that you find Dracula?
It doesn't make any sense.
I felt like it was the way I read it and tried to understand it was that they were grooming them to kind of entice Dracula.
They made it sound like they wanted to give him proper meal because his tag just said O negative.
Yeah.
So right. It didn't seem like she called him not Jack her mentor, okay. That she was Jack's mentor, and she called him her best student. But student of what? We have no idea who Zoe Helsing is, like, really, outside of a doctor who's been studying Dracula, inherited from her family.
Right.
It just...
Yeah, and I think it's confusing because we didn't necessarily know right off the bat, like, what this foundation is doing. They have this like, secret location.
Yeah.
It's like they have this whole labyrinth of, facilities.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is their mission? Like, what are they really trying to do?
Yeah.
Right.
It looks like they have, like, they're studying things, and they are, they had the videos with the underwater footage.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was B613, for those of y'all who watch Scandal. I'm like, okay, B613 is hunting vampires now, okay?
That's a whole other.
I know, right? But it just didn't make sense. Department. We see all these very official-looking people. It looked like a government-run agency.
It did look like a government agency. You know? That's why when they tried to the lawyer came in and was trying to, like, make it...
Oh, Renfield.
Make it sound like, they're running, like, a shady kind of organization. To make it look...
Well, and then we never get a backstory on what that is. Well, Zoe's done all these things. What are they? Like, you're alluding to them, but... And then even the use of Renfield. It was nice to see Renfield. I was like, oh, this is very much how I kind of wrote it, but it's comedy. It was nice to see Renfield. It was nice to see Mark Gatiss because he usually always makes a cameo in the things that they write together. But it would have been better to have Renfield, I think, early on. Because I originally thought they were just merging Jonathan Harker and Renfield.
Right.
So to still introduce him later, it's kind of like...
Whoa. It's like, what are you... Now I'm re-confused. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it's really a Renfield character. You had a lawyer character and decided to name them Renfield.
Right, yeah. And I can't remember who said it because there was a few comments back, but the chat had a problem with the fact that he miraculously just knows how to use an iPad.
An iPad, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. And he knows how to log onto a Wi-Fi network. Right.
And then he says, password
it's my name. Like, how do you... First of all, when you see username... What did you put?
It felt like the writers were just trying to justify an action because they're like, oh, we're gonna have him use the iPad,
right?
Oh, just have him do this, and it just didn't make sense in the context of just the time and Dracula's backstory,
right?
It wouldn't make sense,
right?
When I got an iPhone, I have had a BlackBerry up until that point.
That transition was rough, y'all.
And I was like, what? How does
you were like,
this...
where's the buttons? Right. And where?
I need a typewriter.
And I swipe?
Wow. Oh, I have to type with my... Oh, okay.
Right.
Like, and I have a history of working with computers and stuff. So if I had never seen a computer before in my life and you handed me an iPad, I'm not going to be like, okay, Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
What? How do you even know what Wi-Fi is?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Let's not forget he was on Tinder, too.
He was on Tinder.
So I guess it's because, the way they justify it is that he absorbs...
The information.
The knowledge.
And the knowledge.
From Kathleen's husband.
Mm-hmm.
But still...
But Kathleen's husband... I don't know. Okay, I'll go with it. I'll rock with it because I put it out there.
Well, so I guess her husband knows about Tinder.
Who doesn't know about Tinder?
Right, right. So we'll jump to Van Helsing. She has cancer, and so when Dracula bites her, he gets sick.
Gets sick, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, okay. I didn't know how they were going to play that up, but then, later on we see that he gives her, because she's collecting it, she has a vial of his blood, and then she ultimately drinks it. I felt like that was very...
But she didn't turn.
She didn't turn. I think, now in my head, I could be wrong, I think the way that they were playing that was, in her head, maybe she thought it was going to heal her. In some way.
Well, she said, I think because when she's doing it, echoes his voice of like, mm-hmm. you listen to the blood or whatever, mm-hmm. their blood is lives or whatever, yeah. which is blood still is just lives. Like a dumb, yeah. dumb
blood is like line. The testimony of like everyone I destroyed yeah. or something like that.
Yeah, it still doesn't say healing though. Yeah. Like,
but also if you're going to go with the mythology of Dracula, mm-hmm. when you consume Dracula's blood is when you become a vampire.
Right.
Like, not a ghoul, but right. a vampire.
Do you have to, does it have to be a certain amount? Like, or is it like a drop?
It was, it depends on how you do it. I know, like, what is it? Vampire Diaries honors this, I think, as well. It's like, if you consume the blood, you become a vampire. But, they have it so that, in Bram Stoker's Dracula, I think it's he slowly like drains the person,
right.
and they get kind of low on death, and right before they die, they consume his blood mm-hmm. and they turn it to him. Mm-hmm. So not much. And then there's other ones where it's like it has to be done 3 times and all that kind right. of stuff.
Yeah,
they could have done anything with it, but if you're gonna have her consume somebody's blood, mm-hmm. okay,
she should turn.
Mm-hmm. But is it because her blood is tainted or like her body is dying of cancer that like the blood is ineffective?
But that thought process doesn't play out because yeah. if I'm near death and your blood brings me back to life, then surely it can bring me back from cancer, which is technically near death,
yeah.
right? That I don't know.
It out there. So there's that, a lot of yeah, inconsistencies.
It didn't play out for me right. Yeah. And what else didn't play out for me right is when the lawyer the from 1896 walks in, and just because he lawyers up, you let him walk out.
Yeah.
He's a vampire.
He's your, and he's murdered a bunch of people.
Right.
And it's weird that there's no, like, really law enforcement mm-hmm. involved. It's just this, like, secret foundation scientific society that mm-hmm. has him. So there's some little things that, like, the FBI, he would be, like, he would be, like, America's most wanted.
Oh, right.
You know?
Right.
You would have, you know, mm-hmm. he'd be on the top of the list.
Right.
Yeah, I think also not giving him the mesmer ability kind of, it was a shot in the foot. Like,
yeah.
if he can mesmer his way out of things,
right.
then that's, I think, the best way you can handle it. You don't have to do this convoluted lawyer thing where yeah. he's, like
being with all the him up rights. On the internet and, like found him.
He doesn't technically have any
How
rights
because
he doesn't exist.
Right.
Like, yeah.
technically, there is no paper trail of this man.
Right. So we can keep him here as long as we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just...
Unfortunately, that's just how it works.
Did you guys...
Yeah. It just felt like they tried to fit a modern story with an ancient character,
yeah,
and it just didn't work for
yeah.
me.
Did you guys feel that there was something lacking as far as building the relationship between Dracula and Lucy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a one-word answer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, it's just like he steals the phone, and she mm-hmm. calls, and he goes to the club, and now he's, like, in love with this vapid woman. Like, okay, I mean... It makes more sense for him to like be obsessed with Zoe because mm-hmm. at least she's like the bloodline of a Van Helsing.
Yeah,
at least she's got the same kind of like charismatic personality.
They have that chemistry going already between Zoe and Dracula, and I thought that's where they were going
to
take it.
Yeah, so yeah. to have Lucy come in and he's just obsessed with her because she doesn't care and she's not afraid of death. It's like she barely said anything. She barely said anything the entire show, and when she mm-hmm. does. It's just kind of stupid and flighty, and yeah.
So with the whole Lucy Dracula thing, I just didn't understand that. Again, the introduction of Lucy, you know, she's texting him, so he learned how to text. they're kind of sexting a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like trying to like, you know, he's enticing her, and it.
And he's giddy. He's giddy when
and
she
he's
texts
giddy.
Back.
He's kind of like a. They're acting like little teenagers.
Right.
And so that was kind of like a little refreshing. So I'm like, oh, maybe Dracula is turning around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Showing
which would
a little,
have been fine.
Which
to
would
see.
Have been fine.
Yeah.
To show a little vulnerability, show a little love. But then they took it to the 5 minute, you know, 5 minutes of, you know.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
5 minutes what?
5 minutes. Cause she went like, she said 1 minute, right? 1 minute.
Oh, blood sucking.
Blood sucking, yeah.
Yeah, it was also just kind of like she's, like that whole like weird line about consent and how like she doesn't need it, but it like it makes her taste better or whatever. It was just like,
yeah.
What are you trying to say? Because we do know, like, historically, yes, like Dracula basically rapes Lucy and, mm-hmm. you know, turns her through.
But see, the thing is a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like you totally missed this opportunity. If your goal really was to reintroduce Dracula to people, mm-hmm. then at least Lucy's character to me doesn't make sense. You look like a middle-aged man who's just, you know, going through a midlife crisis. That's what you look like.
And being a little creepy.
And be a little creepy. There's no context of why he's so drawn to her.
And there is that whole conversation about consent, and consent is such, like, such a complicated word like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that it was so heavy-handed in this conversation.
And it was heavy-handed, and then it was also kind of like tossed aside.
And tossed aside at the same time. It felt very like...
They're just putting it on.
Like, they're just putting, like, I hate to say forced, but...
Well, it's also because that's the thing, is that people want to have a commentary on the Me Too movement without really doing anything with it. And so it's like, well, then don't say anything. If you don't really have anything to say about it, then don't acknowledge it and let that be the story, because...
Well, Dracula
is a monster, and he has raped people.
Yeah. Right.
And if your commentary on it is gonna fall flat, just don't do it at all.
Just don't say
right.
It.
Right.
So it didn't make sense, and then and then that's the night that she happens to finally succumb, and then that's also when her friend comes to find her. That just happens to be the night. It just. A little too convenient.
Yeah, but we did learn if you have a living will, you need to keep that up to date, because Dracula specifically told her, do not get cremated. Mm-hmm. And just from her saying, I'm going to be cremated, and that being carried out, I feel like if it hadn't been written down somewhere, just because I've gone through this, guys, if it hadn't been written down somewhere, it probably wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, Billie Jean Girl 24, the reason why she was screaming and nobody could hear is because she was technically dead.
Yeah.
So she's conscious in her own mind, but, comes out charred to death because here's the other part of that bothered me. Cremation is cremation. You're not coming out with your body charred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's she unless she's out? Supposed to like reassemble. Okay, so I felt like this was just like a throwback to a storyline from Doctor Who that Moffat did where you see people post-death, and the ones who have been cremated are like constantly writhing in pain.
Mm.
But you didn't need to do it. Like, you didn't have to have her be cremated. You didn't have to do any of this. Just to have her look ghastly. It doesn't matter. It's more fun when Lucy is in on being a vampire.
Right.
And, more of a sacrifice for Jack.
It was actually really disturbing to see that moment with the cremation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, like, her... And then the fact that her mom could sense that she's like, I could hear her. I feel like she's trying to cry out. Like, that's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And to have, like, just the close-up of her screaming, it's like her soul wants to get out. Her soul wants to speak to everyone and console people. But her body...
It's trapped.
Physically can't.
Yeah.
And also doesn't make sense that she couldn't heal herself when she fed off that guy.
And that was my next thing.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what I thought. I thought she's going to eat this guy, and then she's going to, because Dracula did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of just holes in this.
Yeah.
In this whole thing for me. But we finally get to the moment where Van Helsing figures out she knows exactly what Dracula's afraid of.
Because she's... Mm-hmm. drank the blood and now has Agatha Van Helsing in her head, and I still don't know what he's afraid of. What was it?
So what I got out of it...
I mean...
Emily, would you...
No, you go first.
So what I thought he got... What she was trying to say is, he's had all these family members who have died an honorable death, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. They've died in battle, they've died, and so...
He's afraid of
death. He's afraid of death. I think he's also afraid of living a little bit, because he's created all these things in his head that keeps him isolated. He has this thing in his head that he can't go out into the sun, but come to find out he's a daywalker. Mm-hmm. He can't look at the cross, but come to find out you've kind of made that up too. They don't mention garlic or holy water, so we don't have to address those conveniently. But everything he's done is to isolate himself, because ultimately he's afraid of dying.
Yeah. Afraid of dying and ashamed that he's not going to die
an honorable death. Yeah.
But then how did he become a vampire?
Exactly. He...
Right.
He died an honorable death. What I was kind of battling with this. I liked this conversation at the end. It was like the last big hurrah, the big, battle of the minds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the reveal of him, like, walking into the sun, you know, I think it worked, but then it also goes against all of the mythology that we know. Yeah. So, like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact that he is so afraid of death, he's afraid of, like, not being able to die. So mm-hmm. the fact that he gets to watch people die through his own hands, mm-hmm. it's like he is hoping that one day it will just stop.
Mm. It seems like it was just a tagged on thing. Like, yeah. It didn't seem like they really thought about it from episode one going into episode three.
Right.
And that's kind of a disservice. It was like, okay, just even like she's like near death and dying and he feeds off of her and then they have a sexy time in the dream. Like,
yeah.
Who wants that? Like, what? Like, why?
I thought it was over. I thought it was over. And then there was like the fantasy. Yeah.
So in my head, I thought it was over too. And I thought, okay, now that he knows he's a daywalker, mm-hmm. now we can have a season two because now he's just wreaking havoc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But instead, this man who's been afraid of death for 500 years decides, you know what? Kind of like you, Van Helsing. I'm not going to let you go out alone. I'm going to bite you and die with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? So it won't be painful.
Right. So it won't be because he saw she was in pain.
Yeah.
I mean,
what makes him all of a sudden feel any empathy for anyone else?
Like, he straight up just let Lucy walk around, like, half-charred and stuff.
Yeah, and didn't help her.
Didn't put her out of her misery.
Do you think he was, like, really in love with Van Helsing instead? Like,
if that was going to be the case, then it should have been. It would have been, I think, better to have Agatha Van Helsing come in to also have survived the drowning, and for mm-hmm. it to actually be Agatha that meets him at the
instead of a
descendant, because then it was also kind of like, she don't know you like that. Like, what's happening? Why? Is
Maybe
this
they can be vampires together in.
I don't know, man.
Season 2. No,
we've already decided that there shall not be a season 2. Adrian, do you have some? Did we already do Vampires Pass?
No,
we're doing it right now.
Vampires Pass episode.
much like this one, that everything's mushing together.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right. So for this episode, we're going to for Dracula Through History, we're just going to do the classic 1931 Dracula with Bela Lugosi. It starred Bela Lugosi, Helen Chandler as Mina, and David Manis as Jonathan Harker. Now, this is actually one that I've never seen. It is, I think, probably one of the most quoted ones. I never drink wine comes from that. Oh, also, I want to say from Dracula 2000, he has a line where he says, I don't drink coffee, ha. Huh? But, you know, this is kind of like Bela Lugosi's, like, it kind of made his career. It was, mm-hmm. it was his biggest role to date. He actually, when he died, his son and his wife had him buried in his Dracula cave. So he was stressed.
Dun, dun, dun. That's pretty legit.
Just like that. Which is...
That's dope. Maybe I'm the weird one.
Cool. I don't know. It was weird. Because they have a photo of it. Like, you can see. I don't put it up there because it's kind of morbid. But you see him, like, in his casket.
Yeah. I mean, might have been his dying wish.
Yeah, it might have been his dying wish. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so... That was a 1931 a classic. If you have Turner Classic Movies, or maybe Netflix has it. It's hard to find the classics sometimes on streaming, but I highly recommend it. It's kind of influenced the way we do modern Dracula today, mm-hmm. not just from the book, but also from that film.
I'm going to ask you a question off the books. I mean, this is not something we talked about, but because mm-hmm. you've written kind of a Dracula thing.
I can't believe I even admitted that because it's such a private thing.
It's a comedy?
It's a horror comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's more of, it's not like a goofy comedy, but mm-hmm. it's basically, it's still a modern take on it, but it's with a black woman because, you know, I'm black.
Praise God, yes.
So it's like a kind of a jaded, like, she's like a jaded tech mogul who is also a vampire. And it's just stupid, funny.
Yeah.
Like, her Renfield is also her CFO. So they're, like, very, and also a woman. So they're very savvy, like, mm-hmm. cultural women. And she, you know, feeds on people, but doesn't kill them. Because that's a twist. So,
I like that.
Yeah. So
you obviously...
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds like... I would love to see it, actually. Yeah. But you obviously have this pretty well-rounded understanding of Dracula. Is there a favorite Dracula or even vampire movie that you have?
Oh, man. I haven't thought about that in a long time. I did like, I think George Hamilton had a Dracula. I'm saying that right, the name. Let me look it up real quick. I used to really like that. I do like Vampire in Brooklyn.
Interview with the Vampire.
I love
Interview with the Vampire. Even though it makes me kind of, it's funny, I'm very squeamish, so I can't often go through it. But yeah, okay. So George Hamilton had a Dracula that I liked as a kid. It was so stupid, but
nice.
That was one. And then also, yeah, Vampire in Brooklyn. How about y'all?
I'm Blade all day, every day.
Yeah. Blade?
Yeah. It's my favorite.
My dad loves Blade.
Yeah. Do not remake that. I know there's rumors but it's not going to work.
It's going to be with Mahershala.
Oh, okay. That might work.
Oh, yeah.
That might work. We have a question from the chat for all of us. It says, how would you rate this miniseries? Billie Jean Girl 24 says she gives it a 6. 1 to 10, ladies. Okay.
I'll go first. She's drinking. She's drinking. I will say it is a 7.2.
Okay.
Very specific.
That is. I will give it.
Okay, you go first. I was ready, but go for it.
I'm gonna agree with Billie Jean Girl 24, and I'm gonna give it a 6.
Okay.
I appreciate the effort. I actually really liked the acting a lot, even though I felt the plot was very thin. I thought the execution from the actors was done well. So because of that, if the acting had coincided with the plot, I probably would have given it a little bit less. But I like the acting, so I'm going to give it a 6.
So what were you going to say? And then
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Oh. 3.5. Whoa. So our average is now like a 5. Right.
Because
our panel average. Right.
Mainly because I really liked Van Helsing.
Right.
Yeah.
But in terms of the story, no.
Yeah.
In terms of how they did Dracula? No. Mm. And then it's Van Helsing, and then some of the design was nice, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So, right now, the overall ratings on IMDb is about a 7 out of a 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
not bad.
And then Rotten Tomatoes is 74%.
Okay.
And IGN.com is 8 out of 10. And then general Google aggregate of ratings is about a 3.9 out of 5.
Okay. So I'm incredibly cruel, apparently. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying what the internet is
saying.
But
you are a true connoisseur. That's why I wanted
I love your background. I love how you, like, come at it from different angles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something.
We need that. And we're all, you know, we're all here to just enjoy stuff.
So. Yeah. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's all good. We can't
have a nice try. And I do love Moffat. I did love Sherlock. And I hope they Dracula's hard to pull off.
Right.
Most Dracula films are not successful.
Right.
So and there's a reason for that. It's a hard story to tell. I think we said that even episode one. Mm-hmm. So I give them kudos for making the attempt because it's a hard thing to do. Like,
yeah. And they have really, there was really great moments in, I think, all three episodes. Mm-hmm. There were some really great moments and cinematography choices. Mm-hmm. And I think the production design was really nice in the first and second episode. It takes a whole village to create something like this. And so, you know, I don't want to write it off completely. But, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Right.
Yeah. Continuity.
All right. Well, let's get to our, before we get out of here, we'll do our final little thoughts on our favorite bite. Let's just do the whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah. Okay.
Favorite bites from overall from this miniseries.
Oh,
gosh, so much
pressure. Van Helsing is my favorite bite.
Yeah.
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 The whole thing. Everything that actress did was great. Especially as Agatha. Yeah.
Yeah, when she was Agatha, she nailed it for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she nailed it as the Doctor as well, but, you know, now we just have to look at her a little bit differently. I liked, it's not my favorite bite, but I feel like it could have been. I liked what they were trying to do with Lucy. Mm-hmm. If they had developed that a little bit more. I think I would have really liked that.
Developed more of the characters overall. I think it would have been you would have been more. I would have been more forgiving of some of the plot holes.
Right.
But everyone was kind of like they threw most people away.
Yeah.
So. What about you? I would say my favorite bite in what would be Van Helsing, but I'm going to say my favorite scene would be when they were in the confrontation in at the nun. At the convent.
At the convent, yeah, yeah.
With the nuns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the nuns.
When the wolves were, or
yeah, the wolves
when she was at the gate with him?
When she was at the gate, yeah, and there was really that big reveal, and, yeah. You know, you have all the nuns kind of confronting Dracula. I feel like that was a good, powerful moment for Sister Agatha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I had, like, a favorite. Well, maybe when I found out that... his wife was sitting next, and she's asking him if he had sex with Dracula. And then, oh, by the way, your wife's sitting right here. You know, shade. But I, you know, I liked it. Yeah. All right, you guys, I think we've covered all of it. Yeah. You know, congratulations to everybody on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think there'll be a season two. I think we can all agree about that. But either way,
you never know.
We loved being here with you guys. But before we get out of here, Adrienne, tell them where they can find you.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. You can also catch me on the Doctor Who after show on Sundays, and then the Magicians after show most likely on Thursdays after the 15th.
Yes. You're busy.
Busy girl.
So you can find me at Emily May Heller on Twitter and Instagram, and then also on AfterBuzz's Women's Wrestling Weekly on Wednesdays, as well as WWE's NXT.
All right, and I'm Jackie Ray. You can follow me on all things social media at JRayTheFanatic. I'll be on another AfterBuzz show soon. I don't know which one, so stay tuned. Follow me and you'll know. Thanks for joining us, guys. We really appreciate you. We'll see you next time right here on AfterBuzz.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.